Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
What happened to our lovely finale?
It faded out.
Okay. That's all right.
Right?
No, we
don't
can
fade away.
We won't fade away.
Okay. We're here.
It was a, what do you call that? It was, a bleed in or something?
Yes.
I don't know. Well, anyway.
Yes.
We're not television. We're radio. So we had a fade to black.
We'd be awesome on television.
Well, we would be.
I'm sure.
And you look lovely today.
Oh, why, thank you. Oh. As do you with your lovely scarf.
Yes. Well, you know, maybe we should have the, like on, what's his name? Gian Gomeshi used to have QTV.
QTV.
Where you just get to watch them be on the radio.
Watches. Yeah. I don't know how compelling it would be.
That Billy Bob Thornton one was compelling.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes, because sometimes the facial expressions.
They say more than what the voice says. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so today.
So here we are talking about.
The art of engagement.
Yes, that's what radio really is, isn't it?
It kind of is because you and I have to engage in this conversation every week and face to face, which is important to have real contact rather than email and Twitter and phone even.
That's true. Email doesn't make for much of a radio show.
Not much.
No. And to engage with the audience.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's the other sort of secret to radio is to make the audience feel like they're just listening in on your conversation. Mm-hmm. And so that is a form of engagement.
Yes. And spoiler alert, that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it really is just a conversation. It's not like some hosts are way more engaged in the process, I think, than we are.
Yeah.
Because they prepare, like Steve Corey, for example, is... rigid in his preparation. He has everything all written out and double spaced and big type and highlighted and underlined. And every time I've been on his show, I just sort of shake my head in shame. I'm not very good at this. Look at how prepared he is.
Yeah, but have you noticed? Because I was on his show once and he was all over the place. Like he didn't really follow his big sheet.
There you go.
It's probably just what it is that you always know you've got the next thing lined up so that if at any point your mind goes blank, you've got this list.
You're prepared. Well, he was an air traffic controller, so that would make sense to be prepared.
Yeah.
Whereas we sort of wing it. We don't have.
Yeah, this is all about the art of winging it.
Greens and blues and.
Yeah.
And all
we do our research.
Oh, of course we do.
But we hold it all in our head until we vomit it out into the radio world and then we're done, right?
And then we're done. Ta-da!
Wednesday at 10 o'clock, it's gone.
Yeah. That's why we have to listen to the podcast.
Because you couldn't even remember what we did last week.
Crazy. It couldn't have been that engaging. Well, I couldn't even remember.
I just thought that was funny. So I was saying how wonderful the feedback has been on last week's show. And you look at me, what did we do last week? That's okay.
Well, so this week we'll try and be more thoughtful. And while we talk, whilst we talk about the art of engagement.
Yes. So the reason why we want to talk about this today is because we are installing Kathy Stubbington's exhibition at the gallery this week called Puppets, Peonies, and Community Plays.
That's the
Art of Engagement.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
And this is somebody, Kathy is someone we can look up to in terms of how to engage communities.
Wow.
Holy, has she done amazing things over the past 20 some years.
It's incredible. Isn't it?
It is. Yeah. She has bridged communities in Enderby, the First Nations community, seniors, youth, everybody. She has bridged those people and brought them together in all kinds of art projects, collaborative art, performance art,
theater,
food, environment, everything. It's been absolutely just spectacular what she has accomplished there.
She really is a treasure, isn't she?
Yes.
A gift.
She is.
Yeah. And you may know her through Runaway. You might not know her name, but in most you probably know Runaway Moon.
Yes.
Theater.
Runaway Moon has been kicking around in Grindrod area for a number of years. Kind of a spinoff from Caravan. Kathy and some of her cohorts started working with Caravan quite a few years back. And then, because of the puppetry, right? Like it's all about sort of this really... not new anymore, but the integration of puppets and human actors and doing things that are more integrated like that. And I think that having a theater company that focused on that was one of Kathy's dreams.
And, wow.
Yeah.
And she made it happen.
She did.
Yeah.
And she's
well,
had,
with her family and her friends. And
oh,
her,
she's had so
and
many.
Her fans. And
yeah. yeah. Well, because she has artists and interested people mm-hmm. around her all the time mm-hmm. who are constantly feeding this amazing art source. And she's absolutely generous with credit to all the different people that have contributed so much to Runaway Moon and all the productions.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's going to be the bulk of our labels for the exhibition is all the credits.
Oh, I bet.
Because she's so sure. She says, oh, we have to thank so-and-so. We have, and this person did this, and we have to give credit here, 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 and
well,
here.
And that's part of the art of engagement is
yes.
giving credit where credit is due or sometimes not even due.
Yeah.
Just giving it.
Well,
right?
yeah, because that's the engaging part mm-hmm. is bringing people together to work collaboratively on something.
Yes.
And if you don't recognize that that was a collaboration, then you're just kind of being, I don't know, what's maybe that's not a nice word.
Rude.
Yeah, it's just rude.
Impolite.
Yeah.
My grandmother would not approve.
Okay. Right? That's
so,
true.
So but you're in for a treat.
Yes.
yes.
Oh, it's going to be so fantastic.
Yes.
I'm quite excited. It's taking a long, laborious hours
yes.
to install. We're only... Mm-hmm. Tuesday by 4:30 yesterday, we were just wiped out.
Right.
Because we've been going whole hog.
The rush is on to get it ready for the opening
yes,
on Friday.
Yes, opening
night.
Friday, March 6th at 7 p.m.
So when you walk by the gallery, it may not be open, but don't fool yourself. There's lots going on inside.
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh,
a hive yeah. of activity.
It is. So yesterday we managed to get 3 installations done. We're doing 9.
Wow.
Yeah. 3
okay.
of them are done, and we did a little bit of sorting and tidying for the next 3 that we're going to be installing today.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
So, but one of the things that I want to talk about all the different ways that you can engage communities.
Yeah.
And I know that you know quite a lot about the first way to engage communities.
I do.
Yeah. Oh. The art of puppetry.
Oh, puppetry. Yes. Well, puppetry is, well, a lot. I don't know. I guess humility is a part of engagement as well. But yeah, I did a little bit of research because when I think of Kathy and her art, I think of puppets. And mm-hmm. Of course, it means so much more. But I think puppets are, to me, these are moving sculptures,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
That are sharing messages that people might not be comfortable saying out loud.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's sort of that third party.
Yeah.
I heard a puppet say it, right?
Yeah.
And the puppet is a metaphor for so many things, especially in design and marketing. In a way, that's what marketing is, a form of puppetry.
Oh, wow.
Right?
This is deep.
Yeah. So the more I thought about that, and it goes back to 3000 BC, you know, it's an ancient, ancient art form. And it has also roots in Italy and then the word marionette is said to be like a fancy puppet. Because puppets Ooh. Were for the regular folks, but marionettes were for the elite.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's so funny how that, it's like, we don't watch puppet shows.
No.
We watch marionette shows.
I love so how you said that with your nose up in the air.
Like we're all, you know, trying to one-up each other. But it's, anyway, so as it turns out, and this is a little factoid I learned, a Muppet is a cross between a puppet and a marionette.
What?
That's why it's called the Muppet.
Well, how about that? So you've just bridged communities. You've just did the art of engagement.
Totally.
By naming it the
well,
Muppet.
I mean, and Jim Henson, was he not?
He was engaging.
Sesame Street has taught kids more about being engaged in their community.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
and
definitely.
That was all about, that was all Jim Henson.
Yeah.
Right? And
his own philosophy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Hooper and Big Bird and Snuffleupagus.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they were Muppets, but they were also messages for mankind. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I miss Sesame Street.
Oh, well, you should have been at the band concert last night at
oh,
Jackson.
Really?
They played Sesame Street.
Oh.
It was so great. You should have seen like all of us, you know, of a certain age
yes.
in the audience in our heads going, sunny days, keeping the... It was so sweet.
Oh, yeah. Even Eric is singing along.
Yeah.
And so, and in a way, I guess Kathy is our Jim Henson, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah.
She's
making puppets and making art and sharing stories, but also raising a generation of empathic,
mm-hmm.
engaged, right?
Yeah.
People. It's
because
wonderful.
She's absolutely inclusive of all ages.
Yeah.
You know, she, well, I mean, maybe it's because she's a mom, 3 kids who, from the time that they could probably move their little hands,
Aww.
Were engaged in creating the like co-creating mm-hmm. the productions.
Mm-hmm. And all the kids that have done.
Well, yeah.
Hers, your kids, my kids have done workshops with Kathy. And
yeah, I know. I'm quite delighted that it's one of the things that my kids remember. One of those things that they remember from when they were really young.
Nice.
Is being part of Kathy's productions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those are colorful, musical.
Yes.
You know, community gathering times, right, where there's people and most of the events are outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the elements, you know, you're in the cornfield or you're in the peony field or there's something greater
mm-hmm.
around you, and it makes it maybe more permanent in your memories.
Well, more meaningful.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Boy, I bet it's fun growing up in that house.
Yeah.
I feel boring now.
Don't worry. Yeah. We were just having this discussion with Kathy's daughter now, who's now in college.
Yes.
And she said that when they were growing up, they just wished they had a normal house that was beige.
A beige? And isn't that funny?
And had a TV.
Yeah.
They would walk around Enderby and see TV in people's windows and go up so they could see even the news channel, just so they could watch what TV looked like.
That's, we always want what somebody else has.
That's right. Yeah. She said, I just wanted to know what the soccer mom families were like.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's funny.
But you know what? They're amazing, brilliant kids.
Yes.
And so you grow up in a colorful, engaging environment like mm-hmm. that, and it opens up worlds mm-hmm. that wouldn't have been there before mm-hmm. if you grew up in a beige environment.
Yeah, but you can, and you can be engaging without necessarily being a master puppet maker.
Of course.
So don't be too discouraged.
Yes. Well, there are other ways to mm-hmm. to engage your community. Mm-hmm. So puppets was a big way because of, like you said, being the sort of third voice
mm-hmm.
and not having to take ownership necessarily mm-hmm. over the puppet's philosophies mm-hmm. or feelings or ideas. So that's a way to communicate.
Minimize the risk.
Yeah.
Yes.
You communicate with between two people, you can communicate without, the risk of hurting or alarming or, mm-hmm.
Or getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Because in the early days, you had to be very careful of what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or they might chop your head off, right?
That'd be the end of that.
That would be the end of that.
But whereas chopping the puppet's head off, not so much of a problem.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, wait. What? This just in. You know who else is a puppet?
Who?
Yoda.
What?
I know.
He's a puppet?
Yes. Yoda was a puppet.
Of course, there'd be nobody so tiny as to play him, I guess.
Right? I read that online too, and I thought, is that so deep?
It is. I kind of feel like my whole youth has just been turned upside down. So how did they
do that? Whole metaphor of being a puppet and having strings attached and all that, the language surrounding, right?
Yoda's
this guy's just
philosophy.
A puppet. But Yoda's philosophy was so counter-puppet-like.
Yeah.
He was such an independent thinker.
That is so
interesting. And such a leader, and yet he was a puppet.
Wow.
Ooh, it's deep.
So that was
my head hurts now.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing back in the day. That would have been late 70s, mm-hmm. right? And so...
It's like 70.
I mean, it's not 70. Like a guy was behind a wall with a hand up
No. You know, because... And they probably learned how to make Yoda from the Muppets.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Muppets were foamy and had strings, which was kind of a new thing.
Yeah. And sticks to
yes.
behind them so that mm-hmm. you could move their arms without being seen. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, you could do a whole show just on puppets.
I know.
Because
Yoda was
there have been lots of famous characters who were puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, we could just talk about the Muppets forever because like the two guys in the balcony.
Oh, they're my favorite.
Yeah.
Or Ernie and Bert too. And
yeah.
also the Swedish chef.
Yeah, the chef.
I don't think I have one I don't like.
I had an animal. Did you know that?
Oh, you did?
Yeah, animal from the band.
Really?
Yeah, I had him and he, you could stick your hand up in him and he had his big mouth,
aww.
Right? The big cardboard mouth.
Yeah.
I had him for ages and then he had little sticks on his hands so you can kind of make him do the
drums. Wow.
Yeah.
This is for real.
It was quite for real.
Bet you'd be a great puppeteer.
I don't know.
Well, you kind of are anyway.
Maybe at, well...
Metaphorically,
I am. Today on Artscape, we're talking about the art of engagement because we're inspired by Kathy Stubbington's amazing record of productions at Runaway Moon Theater, and she is going to be featured in an exhibition at the gallery this month.
Mm-hmm. Opens Friday, 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a friend.
Bring a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe bring a puppet. Oh my gosh, that would be so amazing.
Wouldn't that be if everybody brought a puppet?
Yeah.
Aww.
I think I might do that. I'll dig out my animal puppet.
Okay, yes.
It's right under my Bionic Woman board game.
Oh, Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, right?
Do you know you can, in the big toy store in New York City. I can't remember. FAO Schwartz. There's a Muppet station and you can make your own Muppet.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I know. Let's go. Okay. We got to go now.
So,
no. But yeah, apparently you could make your own.
I just, every time I think about that sort of thing, I think that is so empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like doing a self-portrait.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you choose.
With a really big cardboard mouth.
Yeah. But no matter what you choose, it's going to be a reflection of something that you desire about.
Orange hair, a blue nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About what you might want to be, yes. What you wish you were, yes. What you could have been.
It's yeah. Cool. Didn't they do, they've done, I love when they, oh, I know, now I'm obsessed with puppets or Muppets, but wasn't there a show and they did all the characters and Muppets? Oh, I think the Today Show one time they did Katie Couric and Matt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's funny.
And they redid them all as Muppets. It's hilarious. Anyway, Al Roker. It was great.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. Anyway, so on to the next thing. So this is basically, today's show is about how to engage communities. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's also inspired by Kathy is her collaborative art.
That's right. And she, so many of her shows, the audience is not just an audience. It's not just the audience. They're also... The artists.
They are.
Yes.
They've created. They've co-created the work. They've co-created the production. They've co-written their participants, their actors, their everything.
It's wild. Like it that is show wild. In Enderby, and this is before my time, but I still hear about it. And it was called That's Not How I Heard
It. Not the way I heard
That's Not the way I heard it.
Yeah.
About the history of Enderby.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That was, I think, the first one that I had heard about, too. The first big community engagement project. And we had met Kathy when she was doing a presentation at BC Arts Council in Vancouver one time at a conference. And we had gone down because we were just, or myself and Victoria Harrison were just elected to the board of the Eagle Valley Arts Council.
Mm. So
it was like way back. So my very first thing to do was to go down to this conference in Vancouver. Kathy was giving a presentation on the Suitcase Theater. So she had been traveling to... countries like, South America, with a suitcase with a little pop-out stage and marionettes and doing stories and sharing stories about health and environment.
Yes.
And yeah.
Well, it's a great, again, back to the puppets, but it's a great way to send, to share messages and information, sometimes awkward information.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Or things people don't want to. Here, right. Necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do it through a puppet. It's milder somehow. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that was going way, way back. And mm-hmm. so she's, God, this must be 30 years or
probably
maybe even more.
Yeah. And then, you met her before? That's not how I
before. Yeah. So then we were actually, we had a screen printing company in Sycamore for a while. And that's one of the things that I got to do with that is we printed these t-shirts because they had a sea of blue t-shirted kids coming down the street in Enderby that were all involved with this project. Not the way I heard it. And then they had a whole series of events. And I think that's one of the things that she does with each of the themes that she chooses is it's not just one. It doesn't culminate in one event.
Yes.
It has multiple events, usually covering a year or 2 year long segment and multiple kinds of productions of a food event and a theater event and a music event.
Sometimes
it's
gardening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like there's the whole Food for Thought series.
Mm-hmm.
That was a 2 year project and it had a whole seasonal thing and it was all about food and the harvest. And actually we'll talk about that in the next section because food is a whole different thing. But yeah, all of those things were all inclusive and created large works of art that everybody had a hand in.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I really wanted to say about collaborative art is that that's not easy.
No.
You really have to let go of control.
No. Yes. And artists aren't necessarily about that.
No, so we got professional artists, we've got amateur artists, we've got people who have never picked up a pencil before, mm-hmm. all participating in the same art project. Yeah. So you can imagine some people have this deep fear of, mm-hmm. of doing something wrong,
mm-hmm.
air quotes, wrong. And then we have other people who are like, oh, no, that should be red. That should be red. So Kathy, in her absolutely wonderful, calm, easy style, well, let's just try it.
Yes.
Let's just see how it works out.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, perfect. You know, well, and she doesn't even have to have a end result in her mind. I think that the process is everything
to her. I was so obsessed with completion.
We are.
We need to let some of that go.
Yeah.
I struggle with it all the time. I really need to get this done. I really need to get this done. And I think, who are you kidding? This is never going to be done.
There is no done.
There is no done.
No.
Right? And so sometimes I think the part about collaborative art that's so powerful is the ability to experiment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So my son helped with the mosaic project.
Yeah.
He didn't draw it. He didn't teach anyone how to do it. He didn't install it. But every time we go by, he says, see that red tile? I broke that tile. That was me. That was all me. You're welcome. You know? And he's so proud of himself for contributing. Right?
Yeah.
And he learned how to use the cutters and he knew it was kind of dangerous because they're sharp bits.
Yeah.
But that's all me.
Yeah.
Those red apples, all me. I'm like, awesome.
That is awesome.
Right? And so he feels a part of it. And what can be more engaging than
Feeling you have an important role to play.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And every time you go by for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah. That it'll be there to remind you that you are part of a community.
Mm-hmm. And And we ran a few numbers on that mosaic project, didn't we? 35 square meters.
Yeah.
It was 1.5 years of work for a person.
Yeah.
And if you...
It was like 2,000 hours or something.
Yeah.
No, more than that. 30, I don't know, whatever.
I think, whatever a year and a half works out to.
Yeah.
And worth, like the cost, not the value, because
it's really invaluable.
Yeah. But it's about $125,000 to $150,000.
Yeah. That's what it would have cost had we hired somebody to actually do it for us.
Yeah. With all the...
The labor and the materials and the time, because it would have taken, because Glenn, who
we should be building houses, man. We're good.
Oh, no kidding. We asked him what this would cost. Like, and he, you know, did the measurements, figured it out and said, because it would be me and a team of three or four people. Mm-hmm. It would be, 125,000. So we knew that we were doing something pretty spectacular.
Yeah. And we did it for about 10% of the, plus volunteer power.
Well, that was the thing, right? We had over 200 people participate in that project.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, I think that was a big part of, I mean, knowing that we were going to utilize all youth labor, right? Mm-hmm. But it was just the strike and all this kind of stuff happened and we couldn't get regularly scheduled classes to come down. So we had to, you know, improvise and say, okay, everybody, everybody come in and help. But that was kind of inspired by Kathy because we knew that people would come.
Yes.
Because
so she's she's led the charge.
She has.
And she's taught us how to do this, right? Yeah, I think.
And knowing, just trusting that it works because people want it to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like not being so fussy about the end product.
No.
Because, you know, everybody who shows up also wants to do their best.
Yes.
They also want to see something wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, nobody goes, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Plonk, plonk, plonk.
Yeah.
Also put some browns in this thing. Yeah.
They do. And so now there's a sense of community ownership.
Yeah.
And that's oftentimes what's missing is we don't have a sense of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So every sidewalk, every street, every tree in the park, every trail, all of those things belong to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the more we can get involved and take ownership of it.
Right. Because we technically do.
Well, we do own it, but it's
we pay taxes.
It's to feel the ownership of it.
Yeah,
The better
to be
off.
Co-creators.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing, and that's the other thing that Kathy does is show people where their creations, you know, have made a difference and have contributed a great deal, right? And so if we could see the same thing as a regular citizen, that our contribution makes a difference, I think that would make us feel
absolutely
more ownership.
Yeah, and then the momentum that comes with that, right? Well, if I did this, now I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do that thing.
It's empowering.
Very empowering. And I mean, that's in order for people to be engaged, they have to feel empowered.
Right.
Right. So in a way, it's like this circle.
Yeah.
That keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
Invite them, empower them, engage them.
Right.
You know.
Which builds confidence.
Thank them. And invite them, empower them, engage them, thank them.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And so to build the confidence that they'll be able to do it again and even maybe do more, you have to bring them through the process once.
Right.
Hand-holding a bit.
Yes.
But bring them through.
Absolutely.
They're willing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, everybody really just wants to do fun things.
Yes.
Like, you know, who wants to sit back
and... No, I want to do boring things.
Yeah.
I'm really only looking for boring right now. No, of course we want to do fun things.
Yeah. So it sometimes takes work.
And will we be doing fun things during the show? Is there an element of fun happening?
Well, there is a couple of things.
Oh, exciting.
But you know how it is with Kathy?
Yeah.
Is that you can never really pinpoint exactly what something's going to look like.
It's going to be a surprise.
Yeah. And we know we're doing an art immersion day for kids. So for kids age 9 to 15.
Oh, because it's March break.
That's right. Spring break. We're doing that on Monday, March, what would that be, 23rd?
Oh my goodness. If you can get your child to have a workshop with Kathy for March break, that would be a gift.
Yeah. One. So it's all day Monday, like 9:30 till 3 on Monday. And there's multiple projects, but she's got a million ideas, right? This is the kind of thing. She's got so many experiences that have worked for kids of all ages that she's like, well, we could do this. We could do this. We could do this. We know for sure that we're going to be working on the bee hassocks.
Okay.
So there's 12 there. It's really hard to explain, I suppose, but 12 foam honeycomb shaped seats.
Okay.
That are covered with felted material.
Oh, I saw those when I was in. Yeah.
And then they're felted, they're flowers in the order that the bees visit the flowers in the year are felted on the top. So all the different flowers. And then around the sides are the names of the flowers and there's bees felted around the sides. And there's bees have been created already, like the little felted bees. And we have to actually felt them onto the hassocks.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so that's one project. There'll be a felting project.
Yes.
And there's going to be some puppet making. Like some puppet. I know. And so, but we just don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I just know that it'll be fabulous.
Wow. I made a puppet once.
You did?
I did.
So what did it look like?
Well, it was so interesting because, little story. When I was little, we used to spend our summers in Quebec City. Mm-hmm. So my mom and dad would pack up the little Chevette and fill it full of stuff. Drive from North Bay, stop in Ottawa for Canada Day, and then go to Quebec City for 5-6 weeks, whatever. And my mom would rent an apartment, like a student apartment.
Oh.
So that we had, and bring our sleeping bags. So it was like we were basically camping out. We'd hang out at our cousins. Anyway, it was great fun. But almost every day she would take us to the old city, and they would have just random on-the-street art projects.
Wow.
And so what they did, it was so cool. They took an upside-down plastic bowling pin.
Yeah.
And then you glued hair on the top.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then little eyes and stuff. And then you make a costume that goes around so you could hold it under your...
Oh, right.
And my brother and I made one. Oh, my God. You could have taken us... There's no amusement park in the world that would have made up for how exciting that was.
Yeah.
And it was like a 2 or 3 day process. We had to keep going back and back. Yeah.
How come I keep hearing wonderful things like that about Quebec?
Well, that's just the way it is. Although I think it has to do with when you live in a place, because my cousins never went to those things. We did because we were from out of town.
Right.
So we were like, woohoo, where are we going? What are we doing next? Where they'd be like, well, we'll be here riding our bike. I don't know about you guys, you know? So I think it has to do with when you're from away,
you take advantage of the
things.
You
seek out those, what's new, what's different.
Yeah.
So maybe we should, and we do that. Sometimes we do art projects outside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We try to bring Family Saturdays out onto the loading dock whenever we can, just because when the sun is shining, why not, right? Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're here in town, don't wait for your company to tell you about Family Saturdays. Come on down.
Be a tourist in your own town.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the ways I wanted to talk about today was food.
The art of food. See, there's a show all by itself.
We could do that too. Yeah. We just have a myriad of ideas we can explore.
I would take it even further. I think it's the art of... nature and Mother Nature and cycles and time and right. And so Kathy and Runaway Moon are really connected to that.
They certainly are.
And they're helping us learn like seasonality charts and
like the Calendario project was so huge because it was really about like throw your 12-month calendar out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at all the seasonal indicators that help us know what to do, what things to plant, when to harvest such and such, when that nut will be ready, when this bird
comes
triggers.
Back. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it helps us realize that everything is connected.
Yes.
We are not, nothing happens in isolation.
No.
And humans are not isolated from nature.
No.
We are also connected.
We are nature.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Right?
That statement of the day.
It's true.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. We're done. Come back next week. No, kidding. But so she, 2 years ago that she did this?
Oh, the food for thought?
Yeah.
No, it was 2006 to 2009 or something. 6 to 8.
Yeah.
I know. It's been a long...
So it's called Food for Thought.
Food for Thought. A whole pile of productions and workshops and food making events.
Yeah, from how to compost to...
Yeah, well, a lot about farming, a lot about agriculture, right? Because it's really
her
about partner's teaching
a farmer.
Yes, yes, they run Curly Willow Farm.
Yes,
and he grows the best carrots ever.
That's what I hear.
Yeah,
yes,
and squash. Yeah, really good squash.
Really?
Anyway, okay. That's an aside. So yeah, they did basically every season. They had a series of things. They had workshops and where they had kids creating things that would be used in a production, but also just things that were celebrating food.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would have the workshops and then a spectacle and for each season. And the, like, for instance, the I think the winter one was the one that I remember. I mean, I remember all of them, but for some reason I remember the winter one because they had baked potatoes wrapped in tinfoil.
Yes.
That we could hold. We could have one in each hand and hold in our pockets to keep our hands warm.
That's so clever.
And then when we're done and we were having, and there was the bonfire, you just ate your potato.
Oh, wonderful.
I know.
I'm totally doing that at my next bonfire.
It was just the most adorable thing. And we were all toasty warm.
It's genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a shadow play and it was just, it was the winter. It was sparkly in the air, darkness.
Wow.
You know. Anyway, so that one was about foods that keep over the winter.
Mm-hmm. Squash, carrots, potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the spring greens one was, you know, actually I remember Eric was involved with that one because he built colander chandeliers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he built these chandeliers that were upside down metal colanders.
Yes.
And then at the spring greens workshop, everybody created these long strings of green beads to make these beautiful long chandeliers that were all about spring greens.
Wow.
Yeah, that
beautiful.
Was fun too. Yeah. And anyway, it just kind of went on and on. There was a big community lino-cut print tablecloth that was done. So everybody did these little lino-cuts. You know what I mean?
Where
I think tiles that you carve out.
Yes,
the image.
Yes. Yeah.
So if everybody did one of those and we did these prints on this gigantic canvas.
Wow.
That was a tablecloth. And then the tablecloth was used for the next food event.
See?
Yeah.
Like, so clever.
It is. And all of these things are all interconnected. And that's what makes it so magical, I guess, is that one thing gets created and it's used for the next thing. And then you use it again for something else. And it just all becomes a sort of a seed that helps germinate the involvement.
Right. And so in a way, engagement is also about feeling useful.
Yeah. That you've done something purposeful, not just a fluffy thing that, oh, I did it there, I'm done, and it doesn't get used for anything.
No, so that you contribute to something over and above what you're doing.
Yeah, the greater effect is actually bigger than what you have just created.
The whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
And I think what's fun, too, for the engagement part is when you've been part of something and then you see that thing happen again or be used. You know, like just seeing that tablecloth now and knowing like, oh, I did the shovel on that one.
Oh.
I did the shovel and I did the peppers.
And will we see it again?
You know, the tablecloth is at the gallery. We're trying to struggle with where like it could possibly go because we have the vegetable ribbons. And that was another thing. There was a reverse applique project that was done on these really wide ribbons that were then woven together in this giant performance art thing in the middle of the field.
So sometimes the art, making the art itself was the performance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, except in this case, it was kind of the making of the art happened in all these different stages. She had multiple workshops. I think she brought it also to the Seed Savers event one year for people
huge.
To work on.
That's coming this weekend.
It is. Way, yeah. That's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. That is the most amazing gift to this area, the Seed Savers event. And the vegetable ribbons came together in a big production during one of the spectacles, and it got woven together. Everybody, so two people had either, you know, one person at either end of the ribbon, and I think there was 12 ribbons, 30 feet long on both sides. So 24 ribbons, something like that.
Okay.
And so
I'm trying to do the math.
I know. Yeah. So you imagine this big square of people in the center of a big field. Yeah.
It's like synchronized weaving.
Yes. And so then, you know, so every other team would drop their ribbon to the ground and the opposite ones would raise theirs up. And then the opposite people ran through with their ribbons. And it was crazy. So imagine Kathy trying to figure out how this was going to happen, right?
She's a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
she's our genius.
She is.
Wow.
And so this beautiful woven vegetable thing happened. Mm-hmm. Anyway, seeing that again, like for the gallery, was so wonderful because I instantly recognized my purple pepper Aww, that I made.
Yes.
And I was just, oh, there's my pepper.
Were you part of the synchro team that weaved?
Yeah.
It?
You were? I was. Oh. I got to weave.
Well, that would make me nervous.
Yeah. And so yeah. I kind of feel like those kinds of things are what keep you feeling like you're important mm-hmm. in the world mm-hmm. is that you did something. It's like you made a little print on the land.
Well, just like when people do concrete and they put their hand in.
That's exactly.
That is a form of engagement.
It is.
It's a I was here
yeah,
moment.
Right? It was. Yeah. Yeah. And not that just that I was here, but I was here with a whole bunch of other people yes. and we had fun because mm-hmm. that's the sense of community.
And we made it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was here. I had fun and I made it better. It's a lot more to say.
But essentially, I guess you're right.
It's yes.
I was here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway,
no,
some
I
of
like
the other
your version better. I think that'd be a great website. I was here.
Yeah.
And then you put a thing that you went to and then maybe someone else you didn't know or knew was there too.
Like, oh, yeah.
Did you ever go to the police picnics in Toronto?
No.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, that was a big deal in my day. I never went, but a lot of my friends went. And now a lot of my friends who were never friends talk about the police picnic.
Oh,
and
really?
I think, oh, you were at the police picnic? And you were at the police. You guys could have met like 20 years ago, 25
oh,
years ago.
Wow.
It'd be a great website. Just put up, I was at this concert. I'm sure we would find things.
Oh, yeah.
We were there at the same place at the same time.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah. I was here.
I was here.
Why don't you start that?
Yeah, I'll put it on my list.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you've got only a short list of things to do.
This week is particularly busy, but maybe next week.
Next week is wide
yeah.
open. I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, so some of the other, I just want to keep going with the food because I just, you know, I'm kind of fond of food.
You know what I miss about food?
What do you miss
about food? If we're talking about engagement.
Is your stomach going to growl again?
No, I had a muffin before the show to avoid last week's, a repeat of last week's grumble moment. Dramatic grumbling.
That was the dramatic moment.
Remember how we used to go to church suppers. Mm-hmm. So carnival, there'd be like a bean supper and then there would be spaghetti suppers. And I don't find we do enough of that.
No.
Because it's like interior health and you can't serve this.
Yeah.
You mustn't have butter or mayonnaise. I mean, what's a meal without butter or mayonnaise? I don't, it's not
it's
a meal.
It's not worth eating. No.
So, and that piece is really missing.
It is.
To just sit in the room
I know. The community dinners. And also, I feel the same way about community dances.
Yes.
Like, I feel like there used to be so many dances. And almost everybody I know talk about their parents going to the dance.
To the dance.
And they would. You know, while their parents would come home slightly drunk and,
yes.
and make sandwiches in the middle of the night. But whatever. Those are great stories too. But
see, food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Birch Bark. That's why every year I
yes.
take my family to the Birch Bark dance
lovely.
Because at least once a year we get to dance.
Yeah.
But there's no real opportunities besides that.
No. Oh, and
so
I love
bless
the
them for doing it. Because holy. The real lunch?
The real lunch. I was going to call it the wrong name.
Ooh.
Because there's one big table,
yeah.
everybody sits, you might talk to people you know, you might talk to people you kind of know, you might talk to people you don't know, and you get to,
yeah.
The thing about dancing is you kind of have to want to dance.
Like I'm wanting to sing?
Right, exactly. Yeah. But eating, who doesn't want to eat?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, true.
So.
Well, but the thing about dancing, the Birch Bark yeah. dances mm-hmm. especially, is that you don't have to have a partner to dance.
You can just go out
because
there.
Because there are all these, you know, what do you call those? What do you call them? Called dances?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you just go out and you
like
just get in a circle.
Ooh.
Well, it's not quite like square dancing because you don't have to have a partner.
Ooh, that gives me an idea. That would be fun. Because there's a workshop coming up called Respect Lives Here.
Yeah.
On March 23rd.
Right.
Sponsored by the Shuswap Settlement Services, Community Futures, as well as Plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Also the Respect Network and a branch of the provincial government. And so that's what it's all about, engagement and co-creating community.
Oh.
We should have a call dance in the middle of the afternoon just to wake us up.
Yeah. Because I don't think they're that complicated because there's Birch Bark standing up there. Like Sue Kyle will say, okay, everybody, we've got a new one we just invented last night. And so nobody knows what's going to happen.
Nice.
She just says, so we'll need a circle about this big. And you just get up and you make a circle.
I know.
And she says, okay, so when I'm going to sing this and then when this happens, you just put you step twice into the, you know, like she just says it and we just do it.
Yeah.
And so it just becomes this really fun thing. And we don't have to know anything before you step out there.
No, because there's a caller.
Yeah.
Do you remember the, and I mean, that's kind of what Kathy Stubbington is. She's calling the dance.
She is. Yeah. So we're all dancing.
We are.
And we're having all the fun.
Yes.
And she's figuring it out in her head.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
I don't know. She mustn't sleep much at night. I don't think I could
think that. Well, I don't know how she has time for things like grant writing and stuff like that. Like, well, I know she has to still do all that stuff. And oof. Anyway, and I...
That's why the kids, I think, love square dancing. As much as they bemoan, oh, I gotta do square dancing. They love it, don't they?
I think they do.
I did, too. I hated it. Well, I hate that. Terrible word.
Yeah.
I disliked it intensely.
I was not fond of it. That's what I tell my kids. Just say you're not fond of something.
But once it started, it would be so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't help it. Like, you've got friends. Most people have some friends, at least one. So the moments where you get to do something crazy different with your friends.
And everybody's still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's great.
It's not horrible.
No.
The way they pretend that it is.
But anyway, those teenage minds, they love to square dance. They love to be engaged.
They do. We have to trust that it's in us want to be in a community.
Mm-hmm.
And they might pretend that they want to be alone and close the door in their room, but they really want to belong.
No, of course we all want to belong.
That's why gangs exist.
Yes.
Because gangs give kids something to belong to.
Yeah. Right?
And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. if we made sure that they belong to us as a community, mm-hmm. they wouldn't need the gangs.
Mm-hmm. And also inter-peer belonging, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to live our lives by our peer groups. So you're in preschool, then you're in kindergarten, then you're in grade school, then you're in middle school, then you're in high school.
It's quite an artificial environment,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, and really we become the best human beings possible if there's a lot of inter-age group stuff.
Right. So that's the key.
Very important.
That the community engagement is involving
more
all
adults
ages.
We're part of the school system. And again, I know the liability, criminal checks, all that stuff. There's all kinds of issues. But why can't we be in there saying, being a part of their, sitting with them, learning what they have to learn and, you know, letting them know that we're here for them. And one day we're going to turn over the keys. So they better be ready.
Yeah.
Right? Because they got a big job to do.
Well, that's an idea somebody out there can grab and run with.
Yeah, because for some kids, the only adults they know are their parents and their teachers.
Wow. Yeah, no, we need to figure out a better way.
Or coaches, but you know,
All
in authority.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we don't need all of those kinds of relationships. Mm-mm. We need normal, mm-hmm. like happy friendships.
So they rebel against that.
Yeah.
And that's what the gang is.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, for sure.
And now...
As the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, today's dramatic moment is a little bit sad.
A little bit sad.
We have lost a member of the artistic community mm-hmm. who had great impact on acting, directing, writing, poetry, song,
rebelling.
Music. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We lost Leonard Nimoy.
We did.
How very sad. Because he really was one of those multi-talented guys.
Oh, he was so talented.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what a legacy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you read his last tweet?
Yes.
I'll call it up, but I'll get it in a minute. But the dramatic moment to do with Leonard Nimoy is that there is a movement afoot to Spock your $5
bill. Spock your $5 bill.
Because it turns out Wilfrid Laurier looks a little bit like Leonard Nimoy.
It's so true. It's very true. Spocking. Spock.
So if you put the bowl haircut and the pointy ears.
But I've seen that before.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a thing.
It's around forever.
It's
maybe
just that when Leonard Nimoy.
In a previous life, he was Laurier.
Maybe.
I wonder who he'll be next time.
But it's just been a thing right now that they're
put
sending
the really
the arched eyebrows.
Arched eyebrows and the bowl.
The bowl haircut is the important part, the shape
and
of the haircut.
The pointy sideburns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people have been doing this for years. You've seen them occasionally. But there's been a call out for people to Spock their bills in order to acknowledge
as a tribute.
A tribute to Leonard Nimoy.
As a memorial. And it's not illegal.
It isn't. And so, the Bank of Canada is responding to this saying it's not illegal, but it's not nice.
No.
Don't do it. Because it turns out that bills that are spocked and bills that are defaced in any way have less of a circulation because retailers choose not to accept them and they get pulled from circulation. So it costs the Bank of Canada money, costs the government money, costs you money.
It's true. It's not, but it's not illegal.
But it's fun.
And live long and prosper.
Yeah, LLAP. That's LL. The Twitter.
Oh, is that right?
The Twitter
is that like
version.
WWJD? Is LLAP?
Yeah. LLAP.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting, speaking of engagement, didn't the captain would say...
Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk would say, engage.
Yep.
Or was that Jean-Luc Picard?
Well, maybe that was Jean-Luc.
Oh.
What are you talking
he's
about?
He's my favorite, but...
I loved him.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
But, right? So that's... Star Trek was all about engagement.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right, it was. Making and it was all about seeking new life and new civilizations and to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Mm-hmm. And that's what engagement is, really.
It is.
And Kathy's... Oh, Kathy's Captain Kirk, too. Man, she's everyone today.
Is.
Engage.
Or Captain Picard.
Yeah. Or make it so, number one. Yeah. I love that, too.
That's the best. We talk about, well, anyway, yeah. That's part of our lexicon as well in our household.
Is it?
Yeah, make it so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, the Spocking thing is one way of a tribute to Mr. Nimoy. But one
it's
of the other things.
It's also a form of art.
It is. Mm-hmm. But one of the other things that I thought was really interesting is there's
collaborative art, too.
Yeah, it is collaborative. You're right.
Yeah.
You're really stretching, but hey, it's there. So speaking of collaborative art, an album was just released just days before Leonard Nimoy died by a fellow, I think it's a British musician, Zarelli. And he's an instrumental and kind of, the whole album is called Soft Rains, and it's about, it's about Holocaust, or not Holocaust, sorry, it's like a end of the world, atomic warfare kind of thing. Anyway,
what is that called? Armageddon, no.
Yeah, is no, there's it? A, no. What? I know. Apocalypse?
Apocalypse,
something
thank
like
you.
That. Anyway, it's about an atomic bomb.
Ooh, this is taking a really strange turn.
Yeah.
Armageddon, Apocalypse.
Well, it's just what's interesting about Leonard Nimoy is that they've used a recording that he made in 1975 where he was actually reciting a Ray Bradbury tale from the Martian Chronicles. And the tale was something like There Will Come Soft Rain.
Aww.
I think.
Yeah.
And it's basically about a computer controlled house in California. That's the one only house left standing after an atomic bomb has leveled the world.
Oh dear.
Our atomic bombs. And so the reciting from Leonard Nimoy is so him. It's so iconic because it's, you know, reasoned and level and, but so dramatic without being dramatic.
Yes.
Right. And so I listened to just a little bit of it. And it is so powerful. Like, it's not like the story is about how there's five spots of paint left on this house that is otherwise charcoaled.
Wow.
And the five spots are like the outline of the man mowing the lawn and the woman picking
really?
The flowers. Yeah.
Wow.
And the two kids and the ball that's still in the air that will never come down. And the soft rain is the sprinkler system that comes on every morning.
Wow.
And waters. Like, because it's computer controlled and it waters as though it's just supposed to keep going. That's right.
Wow.
So it's quite a beautiful piece, but it was just so interesting that this new group, brand new album, just released a few days before he died, is using this recording because Leonard Nimoy, his whole voice and demeanor and reputation stood for something that's very level and very, I guess, timeless in the style of storytelling.
And his art will live forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a musician, too.
Nobody's going to live forever.
Yeah.
But if you can do something, help with a mosaic project.
Or, yeah.
Or plant a garden. And that's what
And multiple things.
Yeah.
Lots of things.
Lots of things. And his last tweet was, a life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
LLAP.
Aw.
That was
right.
His
L-L-A-P.
Last thing was, live long and prosper.
I'm going to tweet that right now.
We're having a melancholy moment.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
but that's part of life.
Well, it is.
Yes,
but that's why.
Because if it was super fun all the time, we wouldn't know it was fun because it would always be the same, and we'd probably be bored to death.
That's right, and that's why you seek boredom.
Yes,
in a very Don't worry. Oh, now you're contemplating that concept, seeking boredom as an opposite to the constant.
Well,
running.
I was always told I wasn't allowed to be bored.
Yeah.
Only stupid people were bored. That's what I heard
really?
In my house. Yeah. My parents would say, bored, huh? You better think of something quickly to keep yourself busy.
Yeah, or I'll
find
put you to
you.
Work.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say to my kids, what am I, your cruise director?
Yeah, I know.
I'm right? not here to amuse you. Find something.
It's the S, the stupid word, the H word, and the B word, and it's bored. So, but it's sometimes you need downtime. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's okay to give your give yourself permission for downtime. Mm-hmm. We don't always need to be active all the time.
Oh, no. Heavens, no.
But I think, in fact, that when you're active all the time, you don't leave room for brilliant ideas to come in.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, your conscious brain and your unconscious brain don't work at the same speed.
Right.
So, and your unconscious brain works about 3 million times faster than your conscious brain. So that's why when someone says, oh, what was that guy's name that time we went to that place? And you're like, oh, I can't remember. And you think and you think and you think. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, for no reason at all, it shows up. It's because of your, in the back room of your brain, it's been
it's
working.
It's still working.
Yeah, it's looking through all the index cards going, I'm going to find this. I miss the Dewey Decimal System. So organized.
Yeah, yeah, very.
I mean, I guess they still use it. It's
in
just there's no
form.
Little...
There's no
cards.
Yeah, there's no millions of drawers with all the little cards.
Wasn't that fun? That was very engaging.
Yeah, it was. That's a process. That was an art project to go in and just look for something. It was because it was methodical, maybe meditative.
And,
I don't know.
And also, like this, the promise of it's here, that thing that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's handed us to us on a plate, like this morning. History of puppets.
You were just
Canada
this morning.
Enter.
Click.
Oh, look at that! There we are. Right. There's no index cards to go through.
Yeah.
No keeping your fingers crossed that someone else can take the book out because your assignment's due, and it, you know.
It's the thrill of the hunt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we miss that. I do. Sort of.
Sort of.
Casey and Finnegan were puppets. Speaking of puppets.
Yes. And we had this discussion once. Was Casey a girl or a boy?
I don't know. You told me, but I think I selectively.
I think we discovered that he was a boy.
I think.
Because of references made to a boy and his dog.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
Okay.
But it was not really made super clear.
No. I think Mr. Jessup wanted us to believe that Casey was whoever we wanted Casey to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is important part of art.
Yes.
That it can become what you want it to become. And whether the final product is what you thought it was going to be is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
The process was the important part.
Yes.
And the story.
And puppets for children, are such a great way to engage them in storytelling. Right?
Yeah.
Because I get, maybe we think that kids think grown-ups are boring, so we have to have puppets. So they'll like us better, listen to us more, you know?
But it's just another, but I think it, like, people are, if we're talking about TV shows, they used puppets to communicate with kids.
Yeah.
And even in live puppet
shows. Friendly Giant used puppets.
Yeah. I think it was just another way to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we said before, it's a detachment. It's like not me as an adult saying to you,
you should brush your teeth.
Yeah.
But if Casey said it or.
Yeah. It's like, well, the puppet told me to.
Yeah.
That's different.
And there is a Canadian show called Puppets That Kill, which is really quite famous. I've heard of it. I've never actually watched. It's not.
Of course you haven't.
I'm afraid to watch PSI.
Yeah.
But Puppets That Kill, my goodness.
I don't want to pollute my mind
no,
like that.
No, exactly.
Anyway, okay, so we do have a minute to talk about upcoming events. Well, of course, we've got the opening night of the exhibition.
Yes.
Friday, March 6th at 7 p.m. And Kathy will be there, of course. And so everyone's welcome
Captain
to come.
Kirk, as we're going to
call Captain
her.
Kirk, our Jim Henson.
Yes.
She is everything.
Yes.
It's awesome. Engage. So she's going to be there. We're going to be welcoming everyone. Of course, admission to the gallery is by donation.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Anyone is welcome. You don't have to be a member.
And
you don't have to be an artist. You don't even have to be particularly involved with the art sector.
Nope.
You just have to want to walk through those
doors.
You don't
need an appointment.
Nope.
You just show up. Yeah.
So it's kind of a party. It's between 7 and 9, and it's a come and go. You don't have to stay long. I usually do the opening remarks at about 7:30, and that will be a time when Kathy can say a few words too.
And there's food, speaking of
there's always food.
Engaged.
Yeah. And food, so that's an awesome part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you, Dolores, for
I know.
She deals with the food.
She does the food. I don't know what we would do without her.
She does an awfully good job.
She sure does. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Kathy is going to lead a little bit of the Balkan choir in a song at the end of the opening remarks, too. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Food and, then, and music and art. Gee.
I know. We've got everything.
Are you giving money away, too?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I can. I've got probably a dollar I can
give
away.
All right.
I'll do that.
There you go.
Okay. And then
$5 bills with Latin or Greek.
Yes. I'll bring a fiver if you bring yours.
That's what you should do. Find a $5 bill, spock it, and bring it to the art gallery.
With your puppet.
With your puppet. And have your puppet drop it in the donation box. How fun would that be?
We'll drop the $5 spocked bill in the donation jar and then carry your puppet around for the rest of the opening.
That's
okay.
Right.
It's a done deal.
Therefore, if you have an awkward moment, you can just have the puppet.
That's right. Mm-hmm. No more awkward silences between people that you've just met when you're stopped talking about the weather.
Yeah, so you can see why she was lovely, but her puppet, oh my. Okay, sorry, off track again.
Okay, and then the artist talks. Kathy's going to talk on Thursday, March 19th. That's our usual coffee break day.
Yeah.
Between 2 and 4, she'll be there and do a little... not really a workshop, a talk and sort of some demo sort of things, which is kind of fun. And then we've got the art immersion day for kids 9 to 15.
Fantastic.
So there is a cost.
That will fill up quickly.
Yeah. So it's $20 or $25, something like that. Yeah. But it's a full day thing.
Yeah.
Register at the gallery.
Worth every penny.
It is. And it's just fun and it's immersive and it's community and it makes them feel happy and belong to something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that was a fun day.
It was fun.
The Art of Engagement is happening now, and we welcome everyone this month during March to do that. Thank you for joining us today on Artscape, our very engaging show. I'm Tracy Kutchker.
And I'm Louise Wallace-Richman.
We'll see you next week.
That's right. Live long and prosper.